I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast in what is your penultimate episode before Christmas. We are aiming to bring you a bit of a Christmas quiz special later in the week, which might tie into a preview pod of the Doncaster match, or might just be a standalone pod. We're not exactly sure, but we're going to talk about the Ipswich game now, look quickly ahead to the Arsenal game as well. So joining myself, Stephen Goldsmith, for that is Gareth Barger.
Hi.
And James Hunter from the Chronicle joins us as well.
Good evening.
So, yeah, you haven't done anything with us for ages, James, and now you're on every other week. So
there can't is keep that. Me away, lads.
We've got ourselves sorted out, that's why. Even though we only did sort it out a day, but we have got a plan now. So we know we'd sort of half know what we're doing. It's only taken 8 years.
Kind of. Right. So, yeah, we will bring you that quiz later in the week.
Is that happening?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I'm not even sure if I've let yous know about it. But we've got a special host and we're going to aim for Wednesday night. So we'll have a go and we'll see what that looks like.
Are we all on that, are we?
Well, as many of us as possible, I guess. Right. We'll talk about that later. It's just a window into the way we do things and work.
You're basically the Chris Silverwood of the Wise Men Say podcast. Just informing people on the morning what's happening.
It's only just been confirmed, really. Discussions have been going on in the background and we've managed to get it over the line. So we will bring you more on that when it comes, and hopefully we... if we get thumped off Arsenal like 10-0, then we probably won't talk about it much. We'll probably just brush over that. Ipswich, though. We make it now. Was it 7 games unbeaten? Is that right? So a bit of a turnaround in form.
7 or 8, I think. Might be 8.
Seven games, isn't it?
No. Is it?
Proper cliche in terms of like a game of two halves, this one, wasn't it? I think, big crowd there. 29,000, is that right, James?
Yeah, that's right. Ipswich had quite an occasion planned because they'd had some sort of ticket promotion in the run-up to the game. They had they're supposed to have the whole lot of their new American ownership there, but in the end, there were only some of them there. Obviously, there's the new manager, Kieran McKenna, in the stands, and they were unveiling a statue to Kevin Beattie outside before the game. So there was quite a few things going on, so... I think one of the lads down there told me it was the biggest crowd they'd had since the playoff semi-final against Norwich. What would that be? 6 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
Didn't they do the tickets for like a tenner or something like that?
I can't remember what the price was, but I know it was some sort of ticket promotion.
Sort of deal where you brought a mate or something, wasn't it? I think. Yeah. But it's good the clubs do that, to be fair.
That's great.
And it all added to the first half though as well. And I know that you had said like midway through the first half, Gareth, that you thought Ipswich were really good. I disagree. I didn't think they were really. I just thought they grafted harder and the huffed and the puffed, and eventually something did fall for them. I wasn't particularly impressed with them, but we just weren't at the races at all, and we were lucky just to be one at half time. I think
they had a few chances that they missed that they should have taken. So, and I thought they were good. I mean, it wasn't like scintillating stuff from a football perspective, but in terms of competing in the game and doing what you need to do to get on the ball,
won the personal battle. Oh, like definitely. Won all the one-on-one battles, yeah, won the balls, the pressing, played with a tempo.
The pressing was their pressing was excellent. They closed a lot of spaces down, a lot of passing avenues down, so that it wasn't a case, you know, when we got the ball, we couldn't really use it because it was a case of someone was on top of them straight away, and then when they were trying to get rid of the ball, all the options were closed. So, but it was, the pitch was terrible, really heavy, especially on that our left-hand side, as it was in the first half. And I thought, there's no way that these are going to be able to keep this up for the entirety of the game, as good as they were in the first half, because they gave absolutely everything. It kind of felt as though with them, if we'd got, say, at the half-time 0-0, I would have fancied us to win the game, because to do that again would have been tough, I think. So it was good for them that they managed to get that goal just before half-time, even though it was a little bit of luck on the deflection. But they'd got in a few times down that side. Thought Burns was very good for them. He's been decent for, he was decent for Fleetwood, actually, when he played. I think he scored against us, didn't he? Might have been the last home game before one of the last home games before the pandemic really kicked in. And that 1-1, I'm sure he scored in that game. But he was really impressive, I thought, generally in that first half. Tired a bit.
Yeah, he was their best player. He was their best player in the first half. Gareth, he was a real threat down that side where Lyndon Gooch was filling in at left back. And you could tell as the game went on, obviously, Sunderland changed shape because, and also, obviously, once Jakku went off and Gooch moved over to the right and they brought Denver Hume on, he got a better handle on Burns then. And also, he tired as the game progressed. But yeah, in the first half hour or so, he was absolutely brilliant and he caused no end of trouble.
And you thought, like you've just said there, you thought Sunderland had weathered the storm, didn't you? And then go conceding when they did, which is also always disappointing. But good reaction second half, I thought, you know, really nicely worked goal, wasn't it? And we've seen Broadhead again, we've seen the best of him, we've seen Dan Neil in action again. Everything has been good about Sunderland this season in that little snapshot for the goal.
Yeah, it was lovely. Another nice goal. Scored a lot. Said the other week, we scored a lot of good goals this season. And that was just another example. More an individual goal than a team goal from the two players. Well, it was a great finish. Really arrowed it in the corner. Really clean. Like, that's someone who's full of confidence, isn't it? He took the strike on like that. And then really, after that, we were dominant. I mean, from an attacking perspective, I think.
They had run out of ideas, didn't they? They'd run out of steam and they ran out of ideas.
They had a little bit of a go sort of towards the end. But I think by then it was really one-way traffic for that second half. We just couldn't get that second. Can't really recall us creating anything. Clear, you know, Stewart got it in on that run with the defender and he stood on the ball.
There was the one where Gooch put him through as well.
And he tried to clip it, yeah.
Keeper just stood up, didn't he, and got a block on it. But that was about the best of it, really.
I didn't think it was his day on Saturday, Stewart. I thought that was probably his poorest performance of the season. Not that he didn't try. You know, he'd never gave up, kept working hard, but nothing seemed to come off for him. Just one of those days for him. But he's been excellent most games this season, so you can't really level too much criticism at him. You're going to have the odd off day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I think in the grand scheme of things, decent point. Like, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think if we were playing, you know, some random team who didn't have who weren't clusters sort of big-ish club like Ipswich are, you know, 29,000 there, you know, we pat ourselves a lot on the back when we get those kind of crowds, so it's respectable regardless of whether they were putting us some sort of offer to get the fans in there. You know, we all know that Ipswich is probably too big for that division as well, so it's interesting that now it suddenly looks like a good point, doesn't it, where if that was Fleetwood who were ninth, we would be saying, oh, we're disappointed we didn't win the game. Do you think that's an element of that? Because people seem generally happy with a point. And I think before the game as well, I said, realistically, a point wouldn't be the worst result in the world, although they are outside the playoffs at the moment, Ipswich.
Yeah, I mean, they've been having a bit of a rough time of it recently, haven't they? You know, particularly losing the manager, more often than not, when you're playing against a team that's just parted with the manager, then it's because they're having a bad time of it. And then, of course, they got done by Barrow in the FA Cup in midweek before Sunderland went there. So I think people looked at it and thought this is a good opportunity. But I think when you think back to even the game at the Stadium of Light when Ipswich came up here, Ipswich were probably the better team in that game, and Sunderland pinched it with two late goals. And so they had a good case, Ipswich did, for feeling hard done by that day. So I don't think Sunderland should feel too down with a point at their place. They've played them twice. You know, Ipswich have been the better team probably for 3 of the 4 halves. And yet Sunderland have got 4 points out of 6.
Yeah, I think if you take it on that, James, the 4 points out. You know, you're looking to go 2 points a game. You look at the two fixtures, we've taken the 4 points, and you would look at that as one of the tougher fixtures on paper at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And yeah, they are out of form. And I think they've only won two of the last 12, 13 games. I think the point in the context of the run we're on at the moment is a decent point, because we've been winning games. If it was in the bad run, I think it wouldn't be as celebrated. So
yeah,
it just keeps that unbeaten streak going.
Yeah.
And
I think 2 wins and then you get a point, you don't feel too badly about that, do you?
It's away from all our away record. It hasn't been great this season either. So I think if you can draw your away games, win your home games, by and large, that'll get you promoted.
And there's a game you're losing as well. You're not winning 1-0 and then the opposition goes down to 10 men. So that's an entirely different thing, isn't it?
I mean, the opposition, by the way, probably should have gone down to 10 men for that Giacu challenge. Yeah. I mean, it was really poor, that one, right over the top of the ball.
Did he even get a yellow card for it?
No, he got done nothing.
No, nothing. I think as well, you have to look at Sunderland's run, this run of results, in the context of the injury problems that Sunderland have got too. You know, there's very little room for manoeuvre for Lee Johnson to change things around and freshen things up. The team's virtually picking itself. He's picked the same starting lineup for the last 5 games. Partly because they've done well, but also partly because he hasn't had many options. So these players have played a lot of football in that time. There hasn't been the chance to take people out and give them a breather. So I think when you take that into account, this run is very, very good run. You know, better than the four wins and three draws might even suggest.
I just think it was a difficult time to play them. But, with the whole crowd thing, as we mentioned, they've got the new manager in the stands. They'll have been trying to impress him. I just think, there was a lot of things pointing to this being a difficult game.
They got a point at Wigan, the other week as well. Went away from home.
It's a good team on paper, haven't they, as well? Outside the playoffs at the minute. Player for player.
Definitely. I mean, if there's a few teams like that in the league, in that sort of top 10 where they may be out of form, but they've got individuals and, you might not be coherent, but if player for player in this league, a matchup in terms of individual moments of quality, even a team who aren't playing well could produce that moment if you're not at it. And I think that's probably what happened.
Yeah,
it was a scruffy goal, but the pressure that they'd created through, Burns, for example, as an individual, thought Lugo did well in the middle, retaining the ball, moving away from people, a bit like Dan Neil. I know they're playing slightly different positions, but Alugo seemed to find himself coming inside quite often in that first half and kind of spinning away from our midfielders and breaking the lines. And I think that was what was hurting us. Yeah, they didn't finish it off, but you know, even if you're not at it, they can still, you know, individuals can still hurt you. And they would probably argue in that first 55 minutes, that's what we did to them. You know, we weren't at it. And a moment of quality from Neil and then the finish from Broadhead, and that's it. The game changes completely. So, you know, that could happen to us in any game as well. But when you're in the middle, I think when you're in the middle of the good run, that point's a better point. If you're in a bad run, you're like, well, why can't we beat a team who hasn't won in weeks? So,
and it's, you know, we're just a point off being 2 points per game now. And we've spoken about how important it is there. So winning the next game will put us back over that mark. I guess it's just frustrating when you see...
We've got the bottom team to play twice as well, I guess, if you look at it, like, you know, in the remaining fixtures, you've got, what, 24 games left, is it? 24, 25 games left?
24 games left, yeah.
24 left. So we've got to play the bottom team twice because we haven't played them yet. Obviously, we play them next. So, yeah, I mean... We're still in there, aren't we?
It's just a hope that, you know, it's just typical because I just think, you know, when we've been looking at the comparisons and there's only really, you know, Jack Ross's first season that's comparable to how well we're doing in terms of points. You know, we're way ahead of the last three seasons, and I guess it's just frustrating that in Rotherham and Wigan, you probably have the two best teams we've went up against since arguably Luton and Barnsley were down here in that first season. And even then, I didn't think Barnsley were great. You know, we threw that away at the end of the season. You know, we took 4 points off Barnsley, didn't we? And I certainly since Luton, you do look at Rotherham and Wigan and you just think it's kind of typical now that... Yeah, I feel like if this side was performing like they are now with this group of players in the last two seasons, then they would be clear, I feel.
Remember though, we are ahead of where we were in those previous seasons now, but it's certainly the last two we got going on Boxing Day, didn't we? Under Parkinson. And we went on a great run up to the start of March.
Yeah.
When we got beaten by Coventry.
Was Boxing Day the
Doncaster game.
Doncaster.
Yeah. Yeah, we played Doncaster and we got on a run then. Because we had the we played Bolton had that.
I was going to say we had a terrible draw.
The terrible draw, and then in the next game we played Doncaster, got on a run, and from there we went flying up the league and looked like we could go up. And then similarly last year, was it about end sort of February time we really got going and went on the run under Johnson. So it'll be interesting to see how it tracks comparably when. If those seasons, you know, when we did the catching up, if we can keep that consistency.
I just don't think there were, you know, any teams as good as the top two now in those seasons. Coventry
were pretty good that year when they went up.
Yeah. Rotherham just seem to win every week, and Wigan as well. Just every time you look, seem to look.
I think Wigan have scored in the last 10 minutes in about 8 of the last 10 games or something. I mean, fair play to them, right? Keep going to the end. Yeah. Take the chances when it comes.
I mean, you still got, obviously, in the second half of the season, you would hope you still got some players to come back. I think Dennis Sirkin is not a million miles away now. And, you know, Aidan McGeady's out at the moment, isn't he? So, you know, Luke O'Neill, we know, is out for a while. So, you know, okay, maybe he's not going to have too much of an impact because he's going to come back quite late. But there are some big players that are out of the picture at the moment, so you would expect if Sunderland can reach, well, even where they are now, so they're a game short of the midway point, they're a point short of 2 points per game average, to have got that far with a squad that's been you know, depleted so badly by these injuries, you know, is a big achievement, and you'd hope that if they can do that with all those injuries, hopefully they can do better than that in the second half.
And you've got January as well, and I guess it's
January too, of course. It's
good business, don't you?
Since the first season under Jack Ross, you look at it, and this is the first time we've been in that position where we're in a position of strength in the league, and we've got an opportunity to add quality to the team that's up to now been good enough to be third or fourth in the league. So, you know, if you look at it that way, and that, you know, that's going to be the pressure to add the quality to to just get us, give us that edge.
I suppose the one thing that you have to look at this time as well, compared to that Jack Ross January transfer window, is Sunderland lost the top scorer that window. You just don't want to lose a key player in this current window. Probably wouldn't be the top scorer, Ross Stewart, but you don't want somebody coming in and, you know, saying, oh, well, I'll take Dan Neil or somebody like that. You know, you want to keep the players that you've got and add to them, not find yourself having to plug a gap where someone's picked off one of your crown jewels, do you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, well, we'll have a little break and then we'll come back and look at the Arsenal game, and I'm just going to test you on your knowledge for a team who've played games around this time of year. So a feature that we used to do, just in case anybody listens to Quickly Kevin and thinks we've pinched it. I think we used to do this feature before that podcast even existed. So there you go.
I don't know what this feature is again.
I'm just going to ask you if you know a team from a certain game.
We used to do that in the light, they did steal it from us.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. Right, okay, we'll be back in a bit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kevin Kyle, and you're listening to the Wise Men Say podcast.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. So quick look ahead to the Arsenal game. In just a tick, but I'm going to just try and test you on your, I'm not going to say knowledge, because you're kind of just trying to, you know, think back to see which players you're going to remember, I guess.
Test on our remembering.
This is horrendous. You know, I feel like when you've got one of the politicians on and they said, how much is a pint of milk or a loaf of bread here? You know, like, I'm going to be badly embarrassed here.
You've got that complete history of Sunderland behind you, James. I can see that over your right shoulder. So, you know,
yes,
no cheating.
No cheating. No conferring.
Well, just to keep it Christmassy, a couple of Christmas songs that were like out at the time. All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is December 1994. So a couple of things that were happening around that time. National Lottery was only a couple of weeks old, end of November. And how's this? Because I think this is early. This seems really early. So the Telegraph had recently become the first paper in the UK to launch an online edition. Would that have been earlier than people would have thought? 94?
You're going to ask us about a team from 1994?
Yeah. Yeah. Blackburn at top of the Premier League. And Sunderland are 16th in Tier 2. They played Bolton on Boxing Day at home, Rock Park, 19,758. It was 1-1. So let me tell me how many. Come on, talk me through that Sunderland team. Before your time, James, so it is a bit harsh as well.
Alex Chamberlain in goal?
Yes, he was. See? Off to a flyer. So back at
yourself
from the start. Think of your fullbacks.
Richard Ord.
Richard Ord wasn't playing, though.
No. Andy Melville?
Yes, Andy Melville played centre-half. Come on, James. You think of a centre-half, James. Come on. Think close to home.
Martin Scott, left-back.
Martin Scott was left-back, yeah.
Bawley's got to be in there.
Bawley was in midfield, yeah.
Gary Hours? Be gone by then?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Brian Atkinson?
Brian Atkinson wasn't playing, no.
Gordon Armstrong must have been in.
Ben Orr was playing, yes, he was the other centre half. Gordon Armstrong was on the bench. So you got Craig Martin Russell. Scott, one of your fullbacks. Craig Russell did play up front, yeah. Three centre forwards playing this game actually. So there's a clue for you. I'm trying to work out what formation this was with the team, to be honest, because Kevin Ball was a sort of centre half mainly at that point, but he's Phil playing. Gray. Phil Gray's playing, yeah. Another friend of the show up front as a third forward.
Lee Howie,
yes. Which means Martin Scott was one of the fullbacks. Gary Bennett and Andy Melville. You need your right back. And you need two more midfielders. One of them was very much a winger, which is why I'm trying to figure out.
A bit early for me. Martin Smith, probably.
Martin Smith, yeah. And he scored the goal for Sunderland. I'd be surprised if you got the other centre midfielder, to be fair. So I'm going to have to help you out now. But you should get the right back. Come on.
Trying to think of players you had on loan at that time.
No, don't think of a loan player for your right back.
I was thinking about the centre midfielder.
No, he's not a loan player either, but he wasn't here that long. Think your right backs. Come on. Established right backs in the mid 90s.
Darius
Kibiski. Yes. You're not going to get the. You're not going to get the midfielder. I don't think Scottish. There's a clue.
Derek Ferguson.
There you go. There's your.
I didn't know more. I really had to rack the brain for that one.
Some interesting players in the Portland team: Jason McAteer, Alan Stubbs, Miksu Patalainen, Alan Thompson, Owen Coyle. So some interesting players there. Martin scored after 49 minutes and then Miksu Patalainen equalised 2 minutes later.
John McGinley's
on the bench for Bolton, yeah.
Outcast now, isn't he, John McGinley? But Bolton wasn't, or the old owners got, like, banned him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Speaking out against him.
He was great for them at that time, though, in the mid-90s.
Yeah, he was.
One more sleep, 2013. So we're bringing it.
We're doing another one.
Yeah, we're doing another one. A little bit closer to.
Was an O'Neill team?
Liverpool and Arsenal were joint Premier League leaders. I can't remember Liverpool being that good at that time. So I find that interesting. But Liverpool and Arsenal were joint Premier League leaders. Man City were third. They went on to win the league, of course. So this is when Gus Poyet took over from Paolo Di Canio.
Right.
And Boxing Day, Sunderland were bottom. But they went to Everton 1-0, yes. So,
right.
Come on, the two of you. James, I'm expecting more of an input on you, from you on this one.
Right, well, I remember this because Tim Howard got sent off.
Yes, he did. After 23 minutes and so, we converted the penalty.
Noni.
Yep.
And the penalty...
Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say the penalty taker would have been key, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yeah. So... I mean, Manoni's correct, yes. Who did you say that?
Saluska.
I'm surprised you remember Saluska playing because he was.
Saluska,
sort of
Diakite played.
Yes.
Roberge.
Roberge did play, yes.
Bardsley.
Bardsley was left back, yeah. Your stalwarts in the centre of the park. Yeah.
Larson.
Yeah.
Catamol.
And Catamol's mate,
with
yeah.
Key,
yeah.
Barini.
Barini.
Out the door.
Nope. So you are a midfielder. You need a midfielder
and a centre forward.
Mm-hmm. Jack Colback
did play, yes.
Stephen Fletcher,
yes. Well done. So Jordan Pickford on the bench for Sunderland that game. It's interesting because it seems early, doesn't it? But how's this for a bench? Jordan Pickford, Dosena, Cabral, El Hadji Bar. And then some other guy who did something he shouldn't have got sent to jail on the bench as well. Right.
Jaccarini as well.
No. Oh, yes, Jaccarini was on the bench as well. Didn't say that one. Yeah. And Altidore, who you'd mentioned. So yeah. There you go. Bit of a pointless feature, but why not? Because it's Christmas and just a little bit of a taste. I don't have any idea what the questions are going to be like anywhere, but I think we're just acknowledging Christmas, aren't we? We normally make more of an effort than this, I think. So there you go. Right.
Sunderland are in the League Cup quarter-final for the first time since they've reached the final in that same season, actually, that we've just spoken about there. What kind of teams are you going to put out, James?
Well, I think he's going to put out a strong team. Probably not too different to the one that you saw at Ipswich. One, because he hasn't got many options, as we've discussed, in terms of senior players to mix things up. Two, because you're in the quarter final of a competition. You know, you're not going to chuck it in and pad your team out with under 23s, are you? So I think there'll be two or three changes. I think there's certainly one player that's out, we know now, with COVID. There's a big question mark over Dayaku after the injury he got at Ipswich. And he might change keeper. He might change, he might play Lee Burge. He's played in most of the other cup games. Hoffman got a bit of a knock, didn't he? Ipswich, he carried on playing, but might be an opportunity to play Burge. Or even Patterson, but my guess would be Burge of the two of them. Maybe even Denver Hume. Give Denver Hume a full 90 minutes. He said after the weekend that Denver came on, looked very good and looked like he could play 90 minutes. So possibly an opportunity to do that. So I don't think you'll see many changes. There could be two or three. At this stage of the competition, you're not going to make wholesale changes, are you? And you don't want to go to, and of course, you don't want to go to Arsenal and make lots of changes and be badly embarrassed.
That's the thing, isn't it? And it's you would have seen this. So I've just mentioned getting to the final in 2014 there, and you would see a weakened team really in that year until you got the semi final. Yeah. But such is the gap now in ability of the teams in this fixture.
Yeah.
He's not in a position to just ring the changes, is he? Because, live on Sky as well, is it?
Yeah, live on Sky.
So the last thing you want is the world to watch Arsenal beat Sunderland like 9-0 or something.
Yeah, because Arsenal have picked fairly strong teams.
There's a danger this could be really damaging for the city. Yeah, and it could be... Well, I'm looking at Arsenal's last team. It's sort of mixed, but I'm hoping some of these players don't play in this game. Smith Rowe played.
Smith Rowe, Saka, did they have
played? Saka didn't play, but Smith Rowe played and Martinelli played, who is on fire at the moment. Martinelli's one of those players who always played in this cup, didn't he? And did well.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in the Premier League now.
And there's always a chance that he might chuck Aubameyang in or somebody like that. I mean, he's out of favour. He scored a hat trick against West Brom earlier in the competition, didn't he?
Nikita played up front in the last game. Pepe played as well. Maitland Niles. So they've played some strong players.
Well, they're going to be good because
they beat Leeds with that team. They beat Leeds with that team. Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. If we get out losing 3-0, I don't think it'll be like.
Well, I was going to say that. What? Like, so what? What constitutes success? Are we really in a place where we're saying, "Oh, look, if we get beat 3-0, I'm happy with that."
I'm not saying I'm happy with it. I'm just saying that, like, it's not a complete embarrassment, is it? I mean, that's the danger, isn't it? I mean,
everybody is dreading Arsenal scoring from the first attack of the game after about 2 minutes. That's like what we're all kind. I'll be honest, every time I hear it advertised on the radio, I kind of laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, I like laugh about it. It's just because it just seems, we can't even get out of this division, and we are just light years away from the Premier League.
Arsenal haven't conceded a goal yet in this competition, but I think Lee Johnson's furthest expedition in this competition was to the semi-finals with Bristol City, and they got beaten over two legs by Man City 5-3.
They gave them a good game, didn't they?
Game. I don't think there's any point in going there. Well, there's no point in going there, shutting up shop and trying, damage limitation. You may as well go there, go toe to toe, obviously with the proviso that you're not getting humiliated. But I mean, you need to try and score, don't you? Or else there's no point.
The interesting thing is, obviously, the quality differential is huge. I mean, it's a different sport when you watch a Premier League compared to League One. But at the same time, the things we struggle against in League One, we're probably not going to, it's going to be a different challenge. It's not going to be this physical. We're not going to, the way we come often get struggle is when teams try and dominate us physically. Arsenal aren't going to do that. They're going to try and cut us in half. So that is going to be a different challenge probably to what we're used to. And one, you'd expect the amount of ball Arsenal are probably going to have. You'd expect them to open us up a few times. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of them. If you got to hope that they have a bad night in front of goal and we get a couple of chances and take one, or we get a penalty or a decision goes in our favour and that change, like it did at QPR where they had that disallowed goal.
But they're just Arsenal going to try and play through you, aren't they? That's what they're going to do. So you need to stand close to them. You need to be right on their toes and give them no time to settle on the ball. That's the only thing you can do, is try and hassle and harry them. And I mean, this Arsenal is an improvement. It's an improved version what the Arsenal of, say, 2 years ago. You'd think playing against a League One side like Sunderland, you know, that could really rattle them. Don't really know how this Arsenal will go on, but you know, that's at least what you've got to try and do, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, typically they're in form when they're in the Champions League places after having another poor start of the season. So that's worked in our favour, hasn't it? It'd be interesting to see with the game. It'd be interesting to see with the game plan, though. Like I say, you're saying there, Jim, you can't like just go and shut up shop and stuff like that. I'm fascinated now. I was going to go for it. Like, is he going to? You can't go toe to toe. There needs to be an element of
counter-attacking,
isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it'll go toe to toe. Though I don't think it'll be the Alamo. Like, we're not capable of defending in that manner. Like, we're just not. Like, defensively, we are the weakest we've been defensively since we've been in League One, if you look at the stats.
But if we set up in that way, like, that's been our downfall, like you've just touched on there, Gav. So that some of the games, like, you know, Rotherham and Portsmouth, for example, just not set up right, and there didn't seem to be any sort of cohesive plan about how to manage the game defensively and you know, play on the counter. It's all been it has been very much like, no, let's just go and do our things, even when things are going wrong. Which, like, is enough to give you nightmares, really, because as Rotherham and Portsmouth kept putting the goals in, there was no obvious change or idea how to limit that damage at the time, which isn't a good good place to be at if you're going to be playing against somebody like Arsenal.
Thing is, though, mentality-wise, this is different to a fixture against, like, Rotherham or Portsmouth. There's no pressure on the game. You know, like in those games in League One, it's like, wait, no, they're terrible results because you think, well, if we go and get a draw, you'd be like, that's okay. And then you get absolutely battered and then it looks terrible because you've been beaten by one of your rival sides heavily and it impacts you. You know, it's a 6-pointer as the cliche goes, and it impacts you in the league. And in the ultimate goal with this one, you know, you can just, if you get beaten, it doesn't really matter too much. I mean, in the grander scheme of things, we've got miles further than they'd expect to get in the competition with the lowest ranked team left in it. You know, the likelihood is we'll lose the game comfortably, but they've just got to enjoy it. You know, it'll be a massive game for a lot of these players, opportunity, you know, for individuals to, you know, maybe show they've got qualities. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing Neil. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how, you know, he does. It would be really interesting, you know, if we can get the ball back from Arsenal at a point, but when an attack breaks down, it'd be interesting to see what shape we get into when we try and get out with the ball. And it'd be interesting to see if someone like Neil, if he can get into some space, then, you know, and we get players, you know, going running beyond, like people like Broadhead, Stewart. It'll be interesting to see what kind of influence we can have in an attacking sense. But I'm sure, you know, they'll have a go, won't they? You know, they'll have a go. I don't think they're going to melt. I think they'll enjoy it. And
yeah,
we could get. I don't mean melt like like under atmosphere or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen, especially at Arsenal. I think for them, from their perspective, they're going to look at it from a pretty low key affair. They're going to turn up tomorrow night.
Atmosphere is not going to be. It's not. Yeah,
it's it'll be like. Bouncing, yeah, they're going to be expecting us to turn up and get battered. Like when we played Morton the other week, and it was very, even 1-5-0, it was very muted because you expect to batter that team. Like, and it's going to be the same for them. But we'll have 5,000 of our fans there, won't we? So, I mean, that the atmosphere in that end is going to be loud, and that'll probably give the lads a lift. So, I think, you know,
just a reminder of what this club can.
Yeah,
can be, really.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have a go, and I think we'll lose the game, but I don't think that's negative to say that. But as long as they, you know, do themselves proud, I mean, don't get humiliated, don't be humiliated, and you'll be all right.
This is very much don't come home too soon, Scotland World Cup 98, isn't it? There's a very similar vibes going on here.
Was there a manager singing on that one, Ali McCoy's, was he?
Yeah. If you're looking forward to questions, answers like that, make sure you tune in for the Christmas quiz. We'll have to decide who's playing it first. Like you say, the wise men say team's been depleted over recent months. We keep losing people, don't we? We keep losing people.
Careless of you.
Sellouts.
Careless of you.
Well, you know, we just keep, you know, we can't compete, James, you know.
Have you lost? Have you lost?
Especially if the club.
Who've lost?
We've lost Rory and Craig and Frankie
in
recent times, all of the football club. So thanks for that. You know,
it's one if they can't things, beat you, you know, they're joining you. That's what it is. You know, they're poaching your star men. Just a matter of time before Gareth. It's a matter of time before Gareth resigns live on air and says, "Right, that's it. I'm out of here."
I will do, but not because I'm going anywhere better. Just a bit tired.
They sacked us from their payroll, if you remember.
Well, we didn't. We didn't get paid, Stephen. To be fair, so
we kind of did. Yeah,
paid in kind.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, but I think, like, you know. Yeah, that was a thing that happened, didn't it? Don't campaign to get rid of the chairman of the football club if you're doing the fan zone. That's the lesson. If you really love doing the fan zone, which you did enjoy it, but, you know, principle was more important.
It was going to happen, though. It's not like we, you know, it's not like we were like naive and surprised.
Yeah,
you know, when we got the hook.
Yeah, we'll just wait. We were like, I'm surprised it's taken 4 days. We got the message.
It was a kamikaze approach by us.
Yeah, you know.
But what a way to go. If you're going to get the boot, what a way to go.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing a club employee's done. Some of them have done worse things and been employed for 18 months afterwards.
Ooh, steady.
You know, there's a list. So,
yes, well, like, look, he's hoping we just, as you've said, we just, you know, give a credible performance against Arsenal, and we'll see you on the other side of that. And we'll try and like lighten the mood, should that be the, the necessary cause of action to take.
Well, let's hope the game.
I felt quite optimistic under my bit, but since you two have started talking about Arsenal, I now feel, you know, pretty low and down about it. I might not even go tomorrow.
It's a fine line, isn't it, between pessimism and realism and all those things. But, you know, like, it's interesting because we're not used to being in this situation. Like, so, you know, yes, we've played Premier League clubs in the Cup before when we've been a Championship club, like, loads of times. And it's a really, you know, we got the FA Cup final in 1992, beating a lot of good Premier League teams on the way. And we were underdogs in all of those games. But you always felt like they were within touch. Yes, they were slightly better than you. But we're not used to this where we're like two divisions below somebody. It's really weird. It's strange because Arsenal Sunderland should be a league fixture. Let's be honest. So
we can't have a giant killing without. We can't have a giant killing without a giant to kill.
No,
I guess you know, we have had positive results in this competition under Jack Ross. We beat Burnley. We beat Sheffield United, who were two divisions below us at the time. So,
yeah.
You know, it's obviously there we were a different prospect. I mean, actually, to be fair, the Burnley team we played, that was near enough a full-strength Burnley team that we played against and beat that night.
Yeah.
That's it. Bring the conversation back around a positive.
So, you know, positive, even George Dobson. Vibes. George Dobson scored that night.
Yeah. And the Sheffield United, I can't remember what team they put out, but we beat them as well, as you say. Yeah. So.
Anything can happen.
That's it. We're definitely going to win. Just don't play Smith Rowe or Martinelli or both, please.
Or Saka or. You know, so the left back, or is it the right back? Is it Tomiyasu? Yeah. He looks a really good player. I saw it I've watched him a few times, been really impressed with him, thought he's excellent. So hopefully he doesn't play either.
He's been playing first team, hasn't he? So hopefully.
Yeah.
I think he needs a rest. Last time I saw him, he looked ever so tired.
Yeah, they all look knackered. Yeah. When they were walloping Leeds at the weekend, they all look absolutely shattered.
I think James is right. He's going to play Aubameyang. He's not been playing for discipline reasons. Yeah. And now
punishment.
It's like,
you have to play against
Sunderland. Yeah, he'll score like five or something. Never mind. Well, let's just see what happens. And we'll be back later in the week for our Christmas quiz. So, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.